The real question after the New Hampshire primary, what are the super PACs going to do now?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. So usually the morning after the New Hampshire primary, the winners like Mitt Romney are waking up to extra money in their campaign coffers. And the losers are trying to decide whether they have enough money to continue. But this year, because of the existence of super political action committees or super PACs, the spending decisions made by those independent groups could be the ones that actually shape the race. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
It's been called the Tony Soprano strategy. Let your friends attack your opponents while you, the candidate, can stay above the dirty work.
The campaign can run nothing but sweetness and light if the super PAC is willing to come in and spend the kind of money to define your opponent.
That's New Hampshire Republican strategist Patrick Griffin.
The money in Iowa essentially removed Newt Gingrich from the conversation for New Hampshire. The Romney super PAC literally took 20 points out of Newt Gingrich's hide in about 20 days.
Super PACs were allowed by a 2010 Supreme Court decision that got rid of limits on donations to independent political action committees, or PACs. Super PAC spending will continue in the next primary in South Carolina, where Newt Gingrich will be back in the game. A Las Vegas supporter donated $5 million to a super PAC that supports Gingrich. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This week marks a year since Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was shot at an event in Tucson, Arizona. The weapon that was used in that attack was a Glock 19. Now, even if you're not a gun owner, you've probably heard about the Glock, which is one of the most popular handguns in the country, despite incidents like the Giffords attack. Paul Barrett of Bloomberg Businessweek has just written a history of the weapon called Glock, the Rise of America's Gun. Paul Barrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you write that Glock is the Google of modern civilian handguns. Explain that.
Well, I think if you say the word Glock to pretty much any American, they'll know that it's a black plastic, a semi-automatic pistol. And I think that that is really what distinguishes the Glock. It has come to stand for modern handgun in the richest handgun market in the world, the United States.
And it's an Austrian company. How did it become such a big deal in the U.S.?
In the mid-80s, police departments all across the United States felt that they were outgunned, that their officers were no longer adequately equipped with the traditional Smith & Wesson revolver, which has only five or six rounds in it. And here came Gaston Glock. He said, "I have the pistol of the future. It carries 17 rounds in the magazine, and you need to have it." Like a lot of marketing fads, it caught on very quickly. And once the police were using it, civilians who like to look to the police as a model came along as well.
And to what extent? How many people own Glocks these days?
It is estimated that Glock has produced 7 million guns since it began operations in the early 1980s. And it's further estimated that some 80 to 90% of its product is sold in the United States.
Now, you mentioned that it is more expensive than an ordinary gun. It's lighter, and it also has a large capacity for ammunition. So has it had an effect on the entire industry? Has it made all guns more dangerous, for example?
There's different ways you can describe guns. The flip side of dangerous is effective. I mean, guns are designed to shoot bullets, which can kill people. In that sense, it has led a trend all across the industry toward more potent, higher capacity handguns. That is absolutely true. And if you think that's a good thing because you're a gun proponent, the Glock is to get credit. If you think that's a bad thing because you're a gun control proponent, well, then the Glock is to be blamed for it. But the basic answer is yes, the Glock revolutionized the handgun market in the United States and all around the world.
Paul Barrett is the author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul Barrett, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, about 0.33% higher in Tokyo, down slightly in Paris. Here in this country, Hostess, the maker of Twinkies, has just filed for bankruptcy just months after emerging from bankruptcy. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gobbled up 69 points to close at 12,462.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Now to news from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Samsung and LG Electronics have gone organic. They've unveiled a 55-inch TV that uses organic light-emitting diodes. Kind of cool, but so far it doesn't seem like anything earth-shattering has come out of the Consumer Electronics Show. John Moe, who hosts the Marketplace Tech Report, has been reporting from CES, and he joins us now from Las Vegas. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, John, we've been waiting a couple of days now for some huge product to come out and really blow our minds. You haven't called me to tell me that that has happened. What gives?
Yeah, this year seems to be more about tweaks to existing technology. You have Samsung and LG showing off motion controls for a TV, which is really cool, but it's not that different from Microsoft Kinect. Now, Microsoft announced motion controls for watching Sesame Street, but it's not really a bombshell. There's no real bombshell amazing new inventions here.
But is there precedent for that? Should there have been a bombshell?
Yeah, I mean, this year we're seeing cool stuff, but nothing really compares to, like, 1970, the VCR comes out. 1981, the compact disc. 1996, the DVD. 1998, HDTV. This year, it's just more about adjustments to things we already have.
All right, well, John, I just want to finally ask you, what have you seen that you know will not be a hit this year?
Well, I saw this stick. It's a metal rod that you're supposed to put a camera on the end of, and then you hit the timer and take a picture of yourself. It was described this way.
It's like you have a telescopic arm that goes all the way up to 3 feet.
So no more asking strangers to take your picture now that you have a metal stick.
Very useful. John Moe, host of the Marketplace Tech Report. John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And you can hear Marketplace Tech Report and find full coverage of the Consumer Electronics Show at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.